Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Will you please pray with me? Lord God, Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing to you, our rock and our redeemer. In the name of Jesus, amen. You are the light of the world. You know, I've been studying this quite some time and thinking about what does this light of the world mean, and as I've studied it and as I've matured throughout the years in my understanding, it has become clearer to me that when Jesus says, you are the light of the world, you are the reflection of Jesus, because he is the light. And in a minute, we're going to talk about what does his light look like so that we know how to reflect it. But I will tell you this, in a world today that is so consumed with selfishness, in a world today that is so self-righteous, in a world today that is all about me and egocentrism, this message is needed. And if you don't believe me, just turn on the news and watch the news. We live in a world today where light is being drawn out as darkness is being cast in. A few passages after Jesus says, you are the light of the world, in John chapter 8, this is what Jesus says. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of the light. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. What does that mean? Look to the good works of what Jesus has done for us. He is the light of the world that came into this world of darkness. You know, brothers and sisters, the world that Jesus came into is really no different than the world that we live in today. It was selfish, it was self-righteous, it was a sickening world, it was political, and it was full of darkness and lacking of love. And Jesus, as light, came into this darkness. He came into this darkness with one thing on his mind, to fulfill and do the good works which God had sent him to do. And those good works included living the law perfectly so that you and I could be seen as perfect in God's eyes. That's what Jesus did when he spent his 40 days in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. He did that for us, for you and for me. He did that so that when God looks at us, he no longer sees our sinfulness. He sees us as perfect. That is light, the light Jesus gives us. And then if that wasn't enough, Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross to take away our sin, our shame, our guilt, and our punishment, the punishment we deserved, true hell, true separation from God. Jesus experienced that in the words when he said, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, my God, why have you forsaken me? Was the only time in all creation where God literally turned his back on one of his people. And he turned his back on Jesus, leaving Jesus there to experience the torment beyond hell, the torment that you and I deserve because of our sins, because of what we do, because of our failure to shine the light of Christ. He died to forgive us. Luther calls it the joyful exchange. As Jesus hung on the cross, he took on our sinfulness and gave us his perfection, his righteousness, so that when God looks at you, he now sees you as perfect. You see how that light is coming into the darkness? You see how Jesus says, I am the light of the world, the light that scatters the darkness, the light that illumines the darkness, the light that chases the darkness away? But you see, everything seemed but dark because Jesus died, didn't it? And he was buried in a dark tomb. And the door was sealed, and darkness seemed to reign until 3 days later. As you know, Jesus rose from the dead in conquering light, coming forth and declaring to the world around him, declaring to the world the past, present, and future, declaring to Satan victory over sin, death, and the devil that you and I have, that we will now live eternally, that even though we will go through the darkness of the grave ourselves, which we will burst forth on the other side of that grave into eternal light. Light in heaven with Jesus, light of perfection, light of joy, light of salvation, light of being able to worship around the throne of God forever, light where there is no more sickness or death or mourning or hurt or lack of love or all the chaos that surrounds us in this world. You see, Jesus is light, and he performed the ultimate good work, our salvation. That's the good work of Jesus. That is what Jesus meant when he says, I am the light of the world. Now let's back up to John chapter 5 again, and Jesus says, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Wait a minute, Jesus, hold on. Hold on a second. There's no way I can be the light of the world. I can't do what you did. I can't die on the cross. I can't save people. I can't go to hell and preach victory. You're the light, not me. But you know, Jesus in Scripture says, greater things than I have done, you will do. Brothers and sisters, you see, we are the light of the world. In our baptisms, do you remember? You probably don't remember your baptisms, but you remember seeing a baptism, right? I remember my baptism because I was 4 years old. I wouldn't shut up during it. I kept talking and talking and talking. And my parents said, oh my gosh, he's going to be a pastor. And sure enough, I turned out to be a pastor. But anyways, you remember in the baptism what we do from the Christ candle itself, the Christ candle that is lit, you remember what we do? We light a candle, right? And we hand it to the family. And what do we say? Receive this burning light and live always as the light of Christ in the world around you. In baptism, Jesus gave you his light, making you the light of the world. And wait a minute, I can't do that. I can't save people. I can't do the things that Jesus did. But by faith, indeed we can. By faith, that faith which God gives to us by the power of his Holy Spirit, there's another way light comes into our lives, right? Through baptism, through the sacrament, through the word of God. Well, we don't have faith on our own to do anything, but God nourishes us and puts light into our lives, into our very beings. And what happens is we go into this world of darkness, of chaos, of self-righteousness, of selfishness, the world around us where people are hated and looked down upon because of the color of their skin or where they're from. You catch the drift of where I'm going, right? You and I go into this world as the light of Christ, called to do the good works of Jesus. And although we ourselves cannot save people, it is by our actions of sharing the love of Jesus in the world around us that people are saved. They cannot be saved unless we, as the light, reflecting the light, bearing the light, carrying the light, living in faith by the power of the Holy Spirit, carry the love of Jesus forward. After all, the light of Jesus truly is his love. This week on Facebook, if you're on Facebook, I shared something I truly loved because you know I love airplanes, and there's an airplane flying over this city, and the airplane is dropping hearts over the city. And I said, you know what? That's like you and me. We fly through the city, dropping our hearts of love as we go. Because as we change one heart at a time, the world is changed. The world becomes filled with the light and love of Jesus. Let me tell you something else. Things seem kind of scary right now, you know? We look at our world and Iran is doing this and, well, the president's doing that and somebody else is doing that. And we look and we get afraid. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you, this is an exciting time to me. Because as the world gets into more chaos, the church gets brighter. All throughout history, and if you don't believe me, look at history. All throughout history, as the world got darker, the church gets brighter and more people came to Christ. God is preparing us for this time. He is preparing Christ Lutheran Church for this time. He is preparing you for this time to shine his light of love in the world around you to grow his kingdom. Not necessarily grow Christ Lutheran Church, but to grow his kingdom by doing good works. Because here's the reality. Without good works, your faith is dead. If you are coming to church on Sunday and putting your time in and going home and not living out your faith the rest of the week, your faith is dead. Martin Luther says this, there is no justification without sanctification. In other words, there is no salvation if you aren't living the life the Holy Spirit is working within you to cause you to change and do good works. There is no justification without sanctification. No forgiveness without renewal of life. No real faith from which fruits of new obedience do not grow. That's a real question for all of us to look inward on, isn't it? Where am I shining the light of Christ? Where is his love flowing in me? And thanks be to God, as I see that I fail miserably, I can run to the foot of the cross and ask my Lord to have mercy on me, to grant me his Holy Spirit, and to live more for him each and every day. We, by virtue of faith, are called to shine the light of Jesus in love and in service. That is what we are called to do in the world around us. It is simple. It is hard. It is taxing. It is draining. But it is simple. We as a congregation and we in our individual lives are blessed by God in His love and His forgiveness by the power of His Spirit to try over and over again to do the good works of shining the light of Jesus in our community, in our schools, with our family, and amongst our neighbors. I'm going to ask the kids to come forward at this time for our children's message. I'm going to wrap it up today with our children. And children, I'm going to ask you to sit on the front row so that I can stand up. I'm just going to ask you to sit on the front row here, if you would. Coming up and gather and sit on the front row. If you want to sit on this side, that's fine. I think all of you can fit over here. Come on up. And I'm going to wrap it up with our children's message today. And the adults learn more from the children's message anyways. Come on, scoot down. Scoot down here. Don't be afraid. Nobody bites. Scoot down. Scoot down. Many, many years ago, do you like stories? I'm going to tell you a story, okay? All right? Many, many years ago, there was a man, and he decided to start a five and dime store. You probably don't know what a five and dime store is, but it was a little store at the corner of two city streets, and you could go in and buy cheap little things that you needed for your house, and you could buy stuff for 5 cents, like gum and candy, or 10 cents, like a light bulb, and you could do all of these things. And this was many, many years ago, and he was a very good man, and people loved him so much because he was very honest, and he was very friendly, and the community came, and he was very active in the community. And so, you know what happened? Eventually, he started another store. And then over time, he started another store. And eventually, his one little store grew into a store that a chain of stores that went from one coast of our country to the other coast of our country. And he became famous. And people loved shopping at his stores because he was a great man and because he was friendly and because he loved people and he was really good. Well, one day, the man got old. And he got very sick, and he had to be put in the hospital. And the man, as he was laying in his hospital bed, said, "What am I going to do? Who am I going to leave my company to? This company that I built over the years, this company that people have come to love, who is going to take over my company?" So he called in all three of his adult children. He had three children. They were all adults by this time. And he called them into the room, and he said, "I'm going to give you this challenge. Are you ready? Are you ready?" He said, "I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to give you a challenge. I'm going to give you..." Now, the original story, he gave them all a dollar, but we have to adjust for inflation. So I'm going to give you each $2, okay? And I want you to go into town today and buy whatever you can with those $2. And when you're done with the day, I want you to come back to my hospital room tonight. And whatever you buy with your $2 must fill this room from corner to corner. Completely fill the room from corner to corner. And whoever fills the room from corner to corner will take over the company that I have built over the years. Ready? So they all ran out. They were excited. They took their $2 and they all ran out. They all ran out and they went here and there. And evening came and they all came and they gathered back in. And the first child, well, he came up and said, "Dad, I took my $2, and I went to my friend's farm, and I bought some hay." And with that, he started throwing the hay up in the air like this, and eventually all the hay settled to the floor, and the room was not completely filled from corner to corner. And the father was sad, and he said, "Child number two, what did you do with your dollar?" So child number two reached into his bag, and he said, "Dad, I went to Sears." It's kind of hard to find a Sears nowadays. But I went to Sears, and it must have been the clearance section because I bought a feather pillow for $2. And he cut open that feather pillow, and he started throwing all the feathers into the air. Just like that. All the feathers into the air. Somebody's going to have a mess to clean up tomorrow. Guess what happened? Guess what happened? What do you think happened? All the feathers settled to the ground. Do you think the room was still completely filled from corner to corner? No. And so the man was so sad, and he said, "Oh, child number three, what did you do with your $2? So child number three went to his bag, and he took out a candle and a match. And he said, I went down, Dad, to one of the five and dime stores on the corner, like the one you ran many years ago. And he said, I bought a candle and a match, and that was 50 cents. A dollar more I gave to the church because I figured the church could use it. And the other 50 cents I donated to the homeless shelter in town. With that, he lit the candle, the match, lit the candle, turned off the lights of the room, and guess what? The room was filled with light. From corner to corner, the room was filled with light. You know what the father said? Well done, my son. You've learned a very important lesson in life. You've learned how to let your light shine. You will run the company that I have built over all these years. So what lesson did we learn from our story today? What lesson did we learn? To let our light shine, right? To let our light shine. Can you give an example of how to let your light shine? What can you do to shine the light of Jesus? Yes. You can sing songs for people? Yeah, you can. What else can you do to shine the light of Jesus? What about at school? Can you do something to shine the light of Jesus? Be good to other people? That's kind of hard to do sometimes. Tell them about Jesus? You guys get the point, right? What else? Angela?
To share time with persons and talk about Jesus.
To share time with people and talk about Jesus? Yeah, very good. These are ways in which we can shine the light of Jesus. Now, I want you to turn around for a minute and look at these adults out here. Adults, what are some of the ways you can shine the light of Jesus? They're not talking.
Volunteer.
What else?
Smile
at people. Very good. What else?
Listen
to people. What else? Pray for people. Yeah. Care for people. See, they got it too, didn't they? So should we give them a round of applause back there for getting it? Say, good job, guys. Good job. So that's our lesson for today. We learned to shine the light of Jesus and share his love in